This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inside Pitch. I'm your host, Peter Caliendo. I'd like to welcome and thank everyone around the world who's listening to our show. Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/insidepitch. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from, your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As you know, we'd like to get started right away and so we can get into our subject matter. And I'd like to introduce our first guest today. He's a longtime friend. We're not going to say how long because we don't want to give up our age, but he's a longtime friend. He's done a lot in the game of baseball. Abe Key, president and CEO of Pony Baseball Softball International. Since 1985, he has been responsible for the day-to-day operations. A graduate of West Virginia University School of Journalism and School of Business since 1981. Abe is also a board member of USA Baseball, the governing body of the sport, and was the VP of their executive committee. Abe has coached baseball, and guess what? We have something in common. Both have received the American Baseball Coaches Association's Meritorious Award. Abe was elected to the Pony Baseball and Softball Wall of Fame in November of 1986. Under Abe's direction, Pony Baseball Softball International has expanded all over the world, and we'll get a chance to talk about that. Our topic today, the development of players and coaches by Pony Baseball Softball International, one of the largest baseball organizations internationally for many years. Abe, it's great to have you on the show. How you doing, my friend?
All right, Pete. It's great to see you as well. Thank you very much for having me on. Look forward to some great dialogue today as we talk about youth baseball and girls softball.
Yeah, this was a topic and a show that I was really looking forward to because I know you've been involved in the game for a lot of years. You've done a lot with Pony Baseball. Pony Baseball has, you know, developed the game, helped develop and promote the game all over the world. So let's do this for our audience. Let's get started and tell us a little bit about how Pony got started, the development, the goals, and where it's at now.
Absolutely. So Pony League Baseball was actually founded 65 years ago in a small town in southwestern Pennsylvania, Washington, Pennsylvania. At the time in January of 1951, there was no program for graduates of the local Little League until they got to be high school age. There seemed to be a gap after 12 years of age until high school athletes started around 15 years of age. A group of business and community leaders here in Washington, Pennsylvania, convened that first winter in 1951 in a small conference room here in Washington at the Observer Reporter Publishing Company, our local newspaper, to discuss what to do with these kids after they graduated from Little League Baseball before they started their high school careers. As a result of that meeting in 1951, they came up with the idea to create a youth baseball program for 13 and 14-year-old boys to fill that gap. At the time, Little League stopped at 12. Bases were 60 feet. High school baseball started at 15. Those bases were 90 feet. So they split the difference. They created a 13 and 14-year-old baseball program for boys, 75-foot bases. And they started the first league in the summer of 1951 with six original teams, and that was 65 years ago. Today, Pony boasts more than 30,000 teams throughout the United States and more than 40 other countries.
And that means you're talking about how many coaches, 30,000 plus coaches around the world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I still remember, speaking about coaches, just to go down a little bit of memory lane, I still remember coming to Pittsburgh when we were doing for Mickey on Baseball School with our good friend Dick Birmingham, you know, who passed away a year ago, my mentor, you know, doing the clinics there. I learned so much when we were up there, and that's how kind of you and I got to meet from that standpoint.
Absolutely. We had you and Dick in Washington, Pennsylvania, at Washington and Jefferson College. Great turnout. something we should talk about doing again. There's always a need for coaching education. There's always a need to improve the performance of our coaches. And I'm sure we're going to get into that discussion a little bit more today as well.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, just before we get into the heart of it, also you decided with Pony Baseball Softball International to take it worldwide. What was the foundation of that? Why go worldwide? And, you know, did you need to develop more in the U.S. or what was the concept behind that?
Well, originally with starting with those six teams that very next year, believe it or not, the word of Pony had spread so far so quickly that instead of six teams in Washington, Pennsylvania, we had more than 600 teams that very next year, 1952, that had an interest and actually joined an association, which we called Boys Baseball Incorporated. And the teams were as far away as the Panama Canal Zone. Now, the Panama Canal Zone at that time was owned and operated by the United States. So it was a lot of American kids playing, but they also had indigenous players as well from Panama. So Pony has been international since really the first year. We have refocused our growth pattern outside of the domestic 50 states. We have an office in Tokyo, Japan, Manila, Philippines. We operate out of the Czech Republic in Europe. We also have an office in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, all hotbeds of baseball. But our thought process is, you know, we don't want to limit the opportunity for kids to participate in Pony baseball and softball just to the United States. It is an international sport. It is played in more than 105 to 110 countries. And we wanted to be able to share our experience, share our knowledge internationally to help grow the game.
Well, you mentioned an important topic there. You said, you know, to have keep players in the game or give players more an opportunity to play. You know, I think that's important because what's happening now is a lot. There's, and we'll talk about that down the road here. You know, we're getting very specialized, but then there's kids that just want to play the game that we don't know how they're going to develop in the future. That we need to keep them in the game, and Pony Baseball Softball allows us to keep those kids in the game also.
Absolutely. When we started in the early 50s, our age range was limited to 13 and 14 years old. Today, believe it or not, Pony goes from 3 till 23. Now, it may seem a little crazy to have a 3-year-old playing baseball, but it may be organized recess, for lack of a better term. It's an opportunity to introduce the sport, the concepts of the sport, the throwing, the hitting, the catching, those skill sets that will that young 3-, 4-, 5-year-old player will carry forward as they start the real career in youth baseball. So, you know, our idea is to try to wrap our arms around as many young kids, and we're sort of refocusing our organization this year on putting our arms around those young kids so that rather than play another sport, we can introduce into baseball. That, and we're going to talk about this a little later, is where the importance of good coaching comes in. Not so much at the skill sets at that young level or game strategy at that young level, but making it fun for the kids so they have a great experience, so they want to continue to play. They can be competitive at 9 and 10 or 12 or 14 or even, you know, more at 16. But we want to expand that pool of young 3-, 4-, 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old players so they have an opportunity and a good introduction to the great game of baseball and softball.
You know what? Let's go ahead and talk about that, because what I was thinking was, you know, baseball, as you said, is a global game. And as I travel around the world, even in Europe, you know, one of the areas is that countries have a difficulty is trying to get new players play the game. So they're trying to introduce, you know, baseball into schools. If they have the right coaches, if they have the right program, like you discussed, then they're able to grab these kids because it's fun. What are some of the things that you guys do to try to implement? You know, I realize you talked about, you know, developing the skills or working on the skills, but is there anything special that you do to try to grab these kids' attention right away when you said make it fun for them, you know, at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old?
Well, I think especially internationally, when I speak, and I know you travel a whole lot more than I do, but when we speak to groups internationally or countries internationally, we talk to them about when do you start youth baseball? And the answer sort of floors me. You know, they start at 12, maybe 10. You know, in the U.S., in the Dominican, in Puerto Rico, in Venezuela, in maybe Japan starts it a little bit earlier. My comment to these people is you need to introduce baseball at an early level, that 4 or 5, 6 year old age group. And again, it doesn't have to be competitive. It can be, Europe has a great program coming out of the Netherlands called B-ball. It's a gym game. Again, creates all the skill sets necessary for, you know, making it fun. Everybody gets to play. Everybody scores. Everybody bats. Everybody throws. Everybody catches. It's participatory. So what we talk to people about is trying to create an opportunity. And it can be coach pitch. It can be kid pitch. It can be pitching machine pitch. That really is left up to the local organization. But we want to get the kids into a festive atmosphere, an atmosphere where they're safe. And baseball is a safe sport, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. We want to make sure that they're having fun with their teammates and their classmates. So naturally, school is a great fulcrum for introducing baseball and softball, but also after-school programs. You know, your clubs, Europe is set up in the club system. You know, their clubs start at age 4 or 5 and go through your adult life, and you're a member of the same club, the YMCAs or the Boys and Girls Clubs equivalent here in the United States. So there are many opportunities to introduce the game of baseball and softball at an early age. Our point is to get them an experience, to get them on the playing field in hopes that they've enjoyed themselves and they might want to continue at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
I think this is a very important topic because we have coaches all over the world listening, and coaches, as you know, can learn from each other. You know, I think we're talking about you could take a game like baseball and modify it to a smaller game where kids are touching the ball all the time, very similar to what hockey did. Hockey took a full rink, and now all of a sudden what young kids are playing half rinks,
right,
where they're
right.
Touching the puck more. Is that something we're talking about here?
Yeah, our philosophy in Pony is that we scale the size of the field to fit the size of the kid. We wouldn't expect a 4-year-old to play on a 90-foot diamond, obviously. So our pitching distances, our base distances are all scaled down to fit the size of the kids. 3, 4, 5, 6, we're at 50 feet. 7, 8, we move up to 60 feet. 9 and 10 is 60 feet. 11 and 12 is at 70 feet. 13 and 14 went from that 75 originally, now is at 80. And then the 15, 16, the high school kids and up to the young college kids are at 90 feet. So one of our great philosophies that is really a successful tool for us is we tailor the size of the field to fit the size of the kid. Bases, pitching distance, home run. Well, how exciting to see an 8-year-old kid hit the ball over the fence. Certainly couldn't do that on a 14-year-old field, but they can on a 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-old field. So that's a great philosophy that Pony has adopted from an early age. Fit the size of the field to fit the size of the kid.
All right. The other thing is that we'd like to talk about, because we know it's a strength of Pony baseball and softball. It's the development of your coaches, because obviously without coaches, without very good coaches, it's very hard to have a very good baseball program and able to recruit players. Tell us a little bit about, I think most of your coaches were all volunteers, and how do you keep them educated? How do you keep them going, motivated into developing the sport?
Well, you're right. First of all, we are an all volunteer organization. And our coaches are all volunteer. Our coaches possess many different skill sets. Our coaches, probably at the older age groups, have some experience, maybe at the high school level, some even at the college level. But our younger coaches are dads, primarily. Their intentions are good. Their willingness to volunteer is exceptional. But their knowledge of managing practice, managing a game, managing kids, managing parents' expectations, oftentimes are lacking. So as an organization, we feel that it's very important so that the kid has a successful experience is that we try to manage the coaches and educate the coaches into making sure that they are prepared How do we do that? We do that educationally. We do that clinic-wise. You know, we talked earlier about you and Dick coming up to Pittsburgh. We do a lot of clinics, depending where you are in the country. Those could be done by the college coaches, the high school coaches. We have online education. That's very popular today, not only sport-specific for baseball and softball, but sport general. How to manage kids, the mentality of kids, the pedagogy, all those attributes of working with children, working with children's parents, expectations of children, expectations of parents. So we do the clinics, you know, face-to-face. And I really like that because people can ask questions. People can see for themselves skills and drills. The online side, I really like for the broader scope of how to handle situations, how to handle kids, what you need to do as a successful coach to make sure that that child has a good experience and that parent has a good experience. Let's face it, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds are there because their parents, most of the time, want them to be there. Their parents signed them up for baseball and softball. Not too many 3 and 4-year-olds, you know, come home from school and say, I want to play baseball. So they've been sort of directed that way. So for the parent, we need to make sure that it's a good experience as well. And that starts with the coach. Nothing worse, and you know this from your years of coaching, than going, driving by a practice and having and seeing one kid hitting and 12 kids standing in the outfield. We got to get away from that. We got to get the, you know, we only have an hour and a half, 2 hours for a practice, 2 hours for a game. You know, that's a quick touch with these kids. So we have to make sure that that touch is a successful touch. Starts at practice. They got to be organized. They got to teach skill sets. How do they do that? Games. Every kid's got to play. Every kid's, you know, I coached 7 and 8-year-olds. I had an Excel spreadsheet, and every half inning defensively, I moved every kid around to every position. So Johnny played shortstop last inning. He's playing second base this inning, and Frank is moving from third to short. Every kid got to play every position. And you know what? We might not have won the championship, but I can guarantee that our kids had a good time. The parent complaints were minimal. You know, every kid got a chance to bat, and I changed the batting order so that another kid batted fourth every game. Those kids all came back the next year and the year after that and the year after that. And that just perpetuates itself for all the years that I coached in that those age groups, 5 through 8. And I think that's very important that these coaches, and there was no standing around, you know, there was not one kid didn't have something to do. Of course, you have kids that wander off because they have to, you know, go see mom or dad at the fence or go to the restroom. But they were always engaged with the kids, and that made for a great experience for them.
You know, those are all great concepts that really keep the kids in the game longer. And coaches around the world, if you're listening, I mean, this is one of the largest national baseball softball organizations in the United States and now has grown all over the world. And they're implementing very simple, educated concepts to make sure that their kids are staying in the game longer, enjoying it, having fun. Then Abe, you started obviously very young with Pony Baseball and softball. The coach's education, obviously you had to see a growth. You had to see a difference between, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago till now with the development of players and how coaches are you know, working with their players.
Absolutely. I want to give a current example. And I have seen a change, in my 30 years in the business, I have seen a change. I think majority of the time too, Pete, a change for the better. I want to give a current example that we're going through right now. Pony Baseball has a really nice footprint in Hawaii. Hawaii is a great state for baseball, great state for athletes. Baseball and softball are one of their favorite sports. About 5 years ago, our people in Hawaii, Gwen Uro, our region director, she noticed some problems with the coaching ranks, some discord, some disconnect, coaches playing their kids and not the best kids sometimes. I mean, all the things associated with, you know, coaching all-star teams in tournament competition. Coaches arguing with umpires, So she sort of took a step back, and she and her leadership team in Hawaii for Pony decided that it would be a great idea if their coaches were mandated some coaching education. So we put them through online coaching. She did, made it mandatory that anybody who coached a tournament team went through some online coaching education. They went through the Positive Coaching Alliance. They went through American Sport Effectiveness Program, ASEP, two very well-known, online conduits for coaching education. The end result was, after about a 2.5 to 3 year period, a lot of those problems went away. A lot of those problems solved themselves. A lot of those problems went away, and they turned negatives into positives. Now the teams that are coming out of Hawaii are competitive. We've had several of them in the last 4 years make it to World Series competition. The skill sets have increased. The coaching has increased. They're coaching the kids up. The coaches have been coached up. So all of that has been very positive. And just by mandating some coaching education, some behavioral education, being positive, how to reinforce kids, how to not be negative, how to not talk down to kids, but correct problems in practice, not in the game, all those little things that we talk about as coaches, they were able to turn it around. And it all came back to coaching education.
That's great. Now you have a program right there where anytime you start a new area or you have that similar problem, you now have a program you can implement right away for your coaches. So that way, all those issues are taken care of. And we see it also. We see it all over the world. Coaches get competitive. And that's understandable, but I think they need to keep in mind that, this is a kid's game. They need to allow to let kids play the game. Let's flip it a little bit now, and let's talk about the parent expectation, because of the fact that, as I'm sure you're aware of, parents also are well-intended. Parents don't want to see their kids fail, so they put them in a position to succeed as much as possible. They have a higher expectation sometimes, when we talk about college and so forth. And now they're spending a lot of money. They're becoming more specialized. So let's talk a little bit about the parent side here. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. And I do have a strong opinion on this. I think not all, and let me paraphrase that by saying not all, parents' expectations are unreasonable for the most part. I think parents set the bar too high for their children. And it's not only in baseball, Pete, it's in everything. I'm a parent. My kids are a little bit older now, 23 and 20. I've just gone through it. I've seen it all the way from, my son played baseball all the way through high school. My daughter played softball all the way through high school. Neither played in college. So I was a participant, an active participant, an observer. And I really think that the expectations of a lot of parents are unreasonable. I think that they think that their kid is the best player in the league, best player in the region, best player in the state at 6 years old. And I think that the pressure that they put on the kids is unreasonable. Think that parents need, I don't know how to say, but maybe just back off a little bit, nothing makes me madder than going to the ballpark and see a parent with their hands through the chain link fence, shaking it, yelling, screaming at their kid or some other kid or the coach. That's not the time and place for that. Statistically, the odds of a kid from South Side of Chicago or right around where you live playing Major League Baseball, not too good. Playing on making the high school team, maybe a little bit better. Getting a D1 scholarship, probably not too high. And then start doing the math, 11.7 scholarships for D1 roster. Nobody gets a full baseball scholarship. They might get books, they might get tuition, they might get room and board, they might get some academic help if they're a good student, and that's more important. I have a good friend of mine who's in the ice hockey business. His kid played travel ice hockey. And the money that I think over the course of their life that they spent on that could have probably spent for the kids' college education. The expectations of the parents, while they're having a great time, 90% of the time. But some of those parents, their expectations are a little too high, and they just need to dial it down. They're not, don't live your life through your child. You know, I was an okay baseball player. I'm sort of like Michael Jordan. I got cut from the ninth grade team. And you know what? That was okay. You know, I picked up the pieces and, you know, I played all the way through the end of American Legion and tried out for my D1 college. Got cut there too, but you know, I had a nice baseball career. And you know, I think just the parents, they don't need to meddle so much in I think the kids' lives. Let them play. I think that's the advice I might give.
You know, I one of the things I wanted to mention, because you mentioned college scholarships, you know, talking to college coaches all the time, I ask them, well, what's the first two things that when you're looking for a player, what are you looking for? You know, everybody thinks it's all skills and all that stuff. The first two things, one is what's his grades or what's her grades? That's the first thing. And two, just as equal, is what's their character? Without those two, they're not going forward. And on top of that, they prefer to have the smart players, the ones with good education, because then they're able, as you mentioned, they get scholarships. And if they're able to get educational scholarships, that then they reserve some more money with the other scholarships for baseball, and that helps the overall program.
Absolutely. And, you know, the money at the end of the day shouldn't rule the pressure that these parents put on these players. Listen, when you're 13, 14, 15, and 16, you're going to – the cream will always rise to the top. No player is unscouted. No player is unfound. There are no – today in the internet society and the scouting society and the self-promotion society, there is no player who's under a rock. You know, used to talk about back in the old days, a scout would, you know, be traveling down the road and come up on a high school game in the middle of nowhere and find a kid that was out saying, everybody knows who those kids are these days. So, you know, the opportunity will come to the kid. Youth baseball participation is a huge pyramid. At the base of that pyramid is, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 year olds, where the majority of these, maybe up to 10, where the majority of these kids play. After 12, 13, 14, that pyramid really starts to make a steep decline. Kids get out of baseball. They get out of whatever sport they're playing. And it's not only baseball and softball. This is a victim of, they just get out. They've played 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it is, and they're time to move on. They're not going to play college baseball. They may or may not make the high school team. It's been fun, but now they're moving on to the next thing. Maybe it's academics. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's some other sport.
You know, let me ask, we're going to, in about a minute here, we're going to take a short break just to mention one of our sponsors. That'll be about a minute break. We talk about parent-coach relationships. Is there something that, you know, because communication is so important, you know, that takes care of issues a lot. Is there something that you guys recommend, you know, prior to the season? You know, should the coaches meet with the parents? Should they set the expectations and all that?
Absolutely. The very first thing, you know, most local leagues, and I'm not talking travel tournament, you know, scenario, but most local leagues have a common draft. Everybody gets put on a team. Coach calls the kid and say, hey, you're on, you know, my team, the red team this summer, looking forward to meeting you. And our first practice is going to be April 1st for you and I. It's January 1st if you live in Tampa. So the coach calls the team to first practice. As a coach, the very first thing is that you should take your assistant coaches and put them over with the kids and have a little meet and greet. And that coach needs to go into the stands and have a mandatory parent meeting to set the standard for the season, the behavioral standard, the expectations of the parents' involvement in the success of the team, the parents' involvement in spirit wear and fundraising and team picnics and ice cream. And kids don't care who wins or loses at, you know, under 12, 12 and under. They want ice cream after the game. Who's going to be responsible for that? And then the parental behavior, what the expectations are. You know, everybody's going to get to play. Everybody's going to play different positions. Everybody's going to have a great time. And in order for that to happen, we need your cooperation. And I think to set the tone early in the season, and then if you have problems, you know, those can be addressed individually. But as a group, the expectation for the group has been set, and you need to do that immediately.
But if you and if you do that, I love that. And if you do that, you're going to have less issues because you've taken care of it early on. And I think also, you know, for your coaches out there, I just like to mention, because it's a very, you know, it's a fun experience to be a coach, but it's also demanding. You know, explain to your parents that, you know, depending on how many practices you have, you may not have a lot of practices before the season begins. You may only have 8 or 9. Well, it takes a lot of practices to get better, and kids need to practice on their own. And parents, spend some time with your kids. When you come home, spend 5 to 10 minutes, if you can, just playing catch with them. You know, just maybe swinging a wiffle ball bat with a wiffle ball or doing something where you guys can have fun together. But at the same time, they're doing something every day that relates to the skills that your coaches are teaching you, you know, and your kids. So I think that's important. Abe, we're going to just quickly take a 1 minute break. I just want to ask our listeners to help us out to keep the show going because it's, you know, it's a show that's going internationally. I want to ask the listeners, every time you go to Amazon, go to our website, click on the Amazon banner. When you click that banner, it costs you nothing. It gives us credit and helps us keep the show going. So go to Amazon.com. And guess what? I have a youth baseball drills book that is for all coaches of all levels. And you can go to Amazon. And I know Amazon sells it at a much better price. So enjoy the book. Later on, you'll have our email. You can ask me any questions you like by email about that book. Okay, now, you know, I know Abe has an extremely busy schedule, and I really appreciate him being on the show. I want to continue our talk, and now I want to get into something I know is important to Abe to discuss, and that's the multiple teams that kids are playing on, the health implications behind that. You know, what's more important? Do they take a break? Do they play other sports? Let's just go right into it, Abe, because I know this is important to you.
It really is, Pete. And, you know, this is something that we as an organization have talked quite a bit about. We as an institution of youth baseball collectively have talked about, and it's a concern for a lot of us. Maybe the natural place to start is with pitching. You know, baseball and softball are unusual motions for throwing. They're unnatural. Maybe softball pitching is a little bit more natural underhand, but baseball pitching overhand is pretty stressful. And we as an industry, from Major League Baseball to USA Baseball, certainly to the youth ranks, are concerned about the health of our pitchers. So I'd like to start with that, just maybe make a few comments or suggestions. I think, and most agree, that there's an epidemic of pitching overuse right now, for lack of a better term. And that can go all the way from surgery for severe cases to disability or inability to throw the baseball from the pitching mound. A lot of this has to do with overuse and improper mechanics. So we'll start with improper mechanics. How do you improve that? You get good coaching. Okay. Again, not every volunteer dad is going to be able to work with his pitchers. You know, when I coached 10 and under teams and the kids started pitching, I had some pitching background. So I worked with our kids I'm not an expert, but just to make sure their mechanics were correct, their hands were correct, their arm angles were correct, their legs were correct, their hips were correct, their strides were correct. Just all those little nuances that would protect that arm, from being injured. So proper mechanics is very important. Where does that come from? That comes from someone who knows what they're doing, showing you how to do it. A lot of injuries are the result of improper mechanics. The second part of this issue is overuse. And what we're seeing a lot these days, especially, in probably 16 and under, is maybe 14 and under. By the time you get to 15 and 16, you have some quality coaching, usually. So maybe 14 and under, where the dads are really still involved and don't know any better. Kids are pitching on multiple teams. They're pitching, so let's just take an example. In Wheaton, Illinois, The Pony League there may play Monday through Friday, and they may limit their pitchers to 10 innings in a week. And the kid pitches, you know, four innings on Tuesday in his local Wheaton, Illinois league, and pitches another four innings on Friday in his Wheaton league. And then Saturday and Sunday, he goes and plays on a travel team. And he plays for the Wheaton All-Stars, and they're in a Western Chicago suburbs All-Star League that plays, you know, every Saturday. Different coach. So the in-house coach, he pitched him eight innings, and now he's getting turned over to a new team and another coach. And that coach is unaware of what the kid's done. He may or may not ask the parents. He may or may not ask the player. And generally in that tournament travel team scenario, you know, it's all about winning. So, you know, if the kid's one of the better pitchers, the coach is going to pitch him again. What's the limitation? What's the responsibility of these coaches? You know, Major League Baseball has a new program out called Pitch Smart. Pitch Smart is pitch count based on rest. We all pony right now, although a lot of our leagues are starting to adopt Pitch Smart, is still on an innings pitched. Our research says that innings pitched and Pitch Smart are really, really close to one another as far as the number of pitches thrown and the rest requirements. Matter of fact, our rest is a little bit more stringent than maybe Pitch Smart. But the process is, you know, we need to limit the number of pitches a kid throws. The second point of this is that baseball has become a specialty sport for athletes year-round. You know, most of, you know, when you're living in Arizona or Southern California or Southern Texas or Southern Louisiana or Florida, you can play baseball year round. I was just at a meeting 2 weeks ago or last weekend in Austin, Texas. There are games going on everywhere. And this is in, you know, the beginning of December. So kids need a rest period. They need a break. It's not good to be a pitcher 12 months or 11 months out of the year. My son, who was a high school pitcher, when he threw his last summer game, was shut down till light throwing until end of January, beginning of February. Of course, we don't start high school baseball till March 15th in Pennsylvania. Always a rest period, always a downtime. He played basketball. He went snowboarding. It's important for kids, I think, to play multiple sports, to train different sets of muscles and skill sets, play a foot sport. Baseball is maybe not so much a foot sport as maybe soccer or basketball would be. Use different muscle groups, use different skill sets, different conditioning. So I think it's important to play multiple sports. It's not good to play a single sport, whether it's baseball and softball or soccer or basketball year round. You're doing the same thing repetitively. And that eventually leads to wear and tear on the body, the muscles, the bones. And I think it's probably not a good idea for especially the younger athletes.
Yeah, you know, and I love what you just talked about because we're going to put on our website a couple. We'll put the Pony Baseball Softball website. We'll also put USABaseball.com so coaches can go see the Pitch Smart program. Interesting what you said, which I didn't know, this is what I love about the podcast shows, is that, you know, it's an educational program for myself also, you know, that pitches, you know, pitch counts are very relative right now. You've seen a relationship between pitch counts and innings, which I wasn't aware of. And I don't know if you're going to make that transition or if you even need to make that transition. We're also going to put up there the ASMI.org, which is the Dr. Andrews website that I think coaches need to go to educate themselves. And I just want to hit on one thing before we continue. You know, volunteers, this is a message from the inside pitch, I guess, and myself. You know, God bless you for what you do. We, you know, without you, we wouldn't be able to develop the sport. But please understand that you have a responsibility and that being a volunteer is not an excuse for not doing the best you can do as a coach. So you also have to take it upon yourself to educate yourself the best you can, because in essence, you're going to be helping young kids and keeping them in the game longer and having fun. And you know what that was like when you were a young kid and you wanted to play the game of baseball. So I hope that you continue to educate yourself. Abe, you mentioned earlier and I thought was extremely important. You know, the Hawaii program, mandatory coaches program. It's mandatory that you have parent meetings. When you look at the multi-sport athlete, and, you know, you mentioned the agility. Kids need agility. They need footwork. Do they need that? They need that as young as possible. So they should be playing sports, other sports, as young as possible, because if you wait till, you know, you're 16, 17, you may not be able to develop those skills that late.
Yeah, you know, we're talking, you know, 6 to 8 year old range, you know, when everything is still very recreational, for lack of a better term, when you can go to your, you know, local soccer team and play soccer for a 4 week season, and then go to baseball and play a 4 or 6 or 8 week season, and then go to flag football and play 4 or 5, you know, week season, and then go to basketball, play a 6 or 8 week season. So yeah, that's 6 to 10, you know, get them involved in as many things as possible.
And as far as, I know you mentioned parents, I want to just hit on that one more time, only because, you know, parents out there, you know, Abe mentioned, you know, that be supportive and help your players. You know, when you go to all over the world, and, you know, Abe's been to Taiwan and Japan, and you see fans at the games, you know, they're always cheering. They're always clapping. They're always supporting their players. You never hear boos. You never hear, you know, comments about other players. You never hear any of that stuff. And there's a culture that was created there. And I'm sure you know, I know it's not easy to manage parents, but I'm sure you've tried to create that culture to support your kids, not to, you know, talk about other kids.
Right. Absolutely. Two comments on this. First of all, if you're going to be a parent and you're going to cheer for your team positively, never negatively. Second point, never cheer against the other team. I think sportsmanship wise, those are two really good keys. If you're going to say anything, make sure it's positive for your team or positive for the other team. That's hard for some people, but if they make a good catch on you, guess what? You got to stand up and give a round of applause. That's awesome.
That's a great one. And now we're coming close to the end of the show. I know there were some specific things that you wanted to mention. Was there anything from Pony Baseball that, you know, you wanted to say to our coaches, players, parents? Because we have various people around the world at various levels, even at high school and college, and we have national team coaches that are listening. You know, did you want to talk about another topic that's dear to your heart?
No, I think, you know, just want to leave you with this, Pete. Baseball and softball are great games. They're hard games to play. It's not easy to hit a baseball traveling 80 to 92 or 93 miles an hour, round ball, round bat. The skill sets to be at that highest level are exceptional. I think what I want to leave everybody with is it's a great game. It's a great participation game. It's a great game to learn some life lessons through sport, how to be on a team, how to be a teammate, how to listen to your coach. Those are things. Listening to a coach is a thing that you get early, because you're going to have a boss. You're going to have a teacher. You're going to have a role model like Dick Birmingham was for you that you're going to need to listen to. Not all coaches are good. Not all bosses are good. You got to have to learn how to win gracefully and lose as graceful, because nobody goes undefeated except for the Warriors right now. So no, you have to learn to win and lose gracefully. You have to learn to listen to your coach, listen to your boss. You have to be a good teammate. You might get home from school and not feel like going to practice, but you know the 12 other guys are going to be there. The 12 other girls are going to be there. You have to learn to be part of a team. You have to learn the attributes of teamwork. You know, 9 positions on the field, softball sometimes 10, or youth baseball, young, maybe 10 or 11 or 12. That's a team, and you have to learn how to play together in order to be successful. You have to learn how to get along with other kids to be successful. Parents have to learn to get along to make sure the team experience is successful. They're great games. The game is healthy at the major league level. 105, 110 countries around the world are playing. You just came back from the Premier 12. Well attended, great event, great TV ratings, international baseball. You have the World Baseball Classics on the horizon again in next year. So baseball has become an international sport, I think. Tokyo, hopefully we get back into the Olympics. That will enhance the opportunity for some of the developing countries to grow the game there, because the funding mechanics for developing countries, the medal sports are funded through their International Olympic Committee. So if you're in Uganda and, you know, baseball is a medal sport, now some money might come from the Uganda Olympic Committee to help fund and train baseball. So it's very important that for developing countries, you know, we get back into the Olympics as well. But baseball and softball are great games. A lot of kids playing out there. We just want to try to make sure that we're doing our best to make sure they have a great experience in the game of baseball and softball. PONY stands for Protect Our Nation's Youth, P-O-N-Y. Something we believe in, something we founded from day one and still is our mantra, to create as many opportunities and great experiences for our young people as possible.
That's outstanding. And, you know, the Inside Pitch started because we want to continue to help educate coaches. It's free to all coaches all over the world, parents, players. So we're going to continue to spread the word. I want to thank Abe, very busy schedule, a good friend. He's always been there for me. Every time I email him, boy, he emails me back right away. I think that's something that's a great learning experience for everybody. When somebody emails you, get back to them. It's very important to that person why they emailed you, especially when it comes to coaches development. I want to thank Abe. I want to thank PONY Baseball Softball International for everything you do to promote and grow the game worldwide. And also, listen, everyone listening to our show, remember, if you want to learn more about our guests, get tips, see videos, and more, check out our Twitter at Inside Pitch Show. Also, our Facebook page at facebook.com/InsidePitchShow. Go to our website at InsidePitchPodcast.com. Also, email me anytime you like at Peter@InsidePitchPodcast.com. If you have questions, you'd like to hear from a specific guest, you want us to help you in any way we can, just email us. Remember, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and click subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Remember to check out all our shows, our lineup media group, for shows like Youth Baseball Talk and Let's Get It On. Check it out on lineupmediagroup.com. Please share our shows with your friends on Facebook, Twitter, and by email, any way you can, to help spread the word about the coaching show. Remember, coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. Keep getting smarter. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been The Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts, like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.